morning. Welcome to worship today. Always glad to have you with us as we praise the risen Lord and proclaim Jesus to the world. Want to remind you that right after worship today, we're doing an assisting minister training for folks who are assisting ministers or who might be assisting ministers sometime or who are curious about what that is. Several folks have just asked for this, and so we're going to do that today, and I bet we'll be under 30 minutes right after worship today. So if you're interested and able, stay with us, and we'll talk a little bit. If not, we can talk individually as we need to. We're going to look today and the next three Sundays, today and the next two Sundays for a total of three at some of our survey results that we took in the spring. So you bear with me and I'll share some of that information here in just a little bit. But I just want you to know that's coming. And then want to put in a plug again for our chicken barbecue, which is coming up on the 24th. Hopefully you know someone you can get those tickets from, and if not, you can get those tickets from me. If you have friends, family members, co-workers who might be interested, we could get you a whole handful of those tickets too. We'd be glad to send them with you, so save that date on the 24th. Thanks to all those who were involved in Vacation Bible School this week. It was a good turnout, I thought, from Holly Grove and overall, and the kids had a lot of fun. I think we're going to hear from them, in fact. We're still working out the technical details. We're getting the music to play the way we need it to, but looking forward to hearing from them during the offering. Are there other announcements we should be aware of? Chip, sir. It is at Beck's. Okay. On the fourth Monday of August. Is that right? Okay. Thank you. I do want to let you all know that if you had not heard, we had sent it out by email, but Lydia Rose passed away this Friday morning, and it looks like the service for her is going to be Saturday at 4 o'clock, and it looks like it's just going to be a graveside service. But the family certainly wanted you all to know that, and that you're invited to that service at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Other announcements we should share for the good of the community this morning? If not, we'll wish happy birthday to Minnie, Sandra, Ashton, Andrew, and Christopher this week, and happy anniversary to Johnny and Tammy, Robbie and Randy, Matt and April, and Carrie and Bobby. Anybody we should add to the list? Let's pray for those folks, and I've got my wrong book, so I don't have my prayer right here ready. And every time I try to wing it, it goes poorly. You all have heard that, some of you. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we do a prelude, I want to just have a little, we'll call it a temple talk. I'm not going to take too much of your time, but I want to show you some of our results from this survey, if that's something we're able to go to, Chip. Wonderful. So this survey we took is something put out by the ELCA in partnership with the Statistics Department at Baylor University. And it basically takes a snapshot of where the people who took the survey, meaning the congregation, you all, feel like we are as a congregation, and it really looks at two things, vitality and sustainability. Sustainability is something we maybe understand a little more immediately. We know what it means to be sustainable, but just vitality is that other measure, and how do we tell if a congregation is vital? What do we mean by that? Am I able to advance on this, Chip, or if you'll just advance for me? Basically, it boils down to what is a congregation doing for Jesus? We look at, is a congregation connecting with God and connecting with each other within the congregation? And then beyond that, what is the congregation doing to connect with the world? So, of course, you could have a congregation, and there are certainly congregations that are doing well in terms of their budget every year, But really don't do much other than get together on Sunday mornings. And that would be a congregation we would say is sustainable, but not really vital, right? They're not doing a lot to connect with Jesus and the world beyond the walls. Or on the other hand, you could have a congregation that's just on fire for their ministry and doing amazing things, but not sustainable, not viable, for financial or other reasons, like personnel needs and things like that. So this survey tries to say, where are we? If we can go to the next one, Chip. So basically, when we looked at sustainability, these are your responses here, and I know those are a little small to see, but this category here, we had three folks say, hey, we're losing some ground, but we're still viable. We had a lot of folks, 19, who said, hey, we're able to maintain the ministry we're doing. And then we had a whole lot of folks also, 18, say, we're able to grow as a congregation and be more than we are right now. So that's pretty good news that a lot of folks feel like we're in a pretty decent place on that sustainability. Chip, if you'll go to the next one for us. Here again, we have some measures of sustainability. This is not like a one-question deal. This is like a serious analysis of many questions and how those responses on questions interact. This top left bracket here, we have enough people to do ministry well. Well, we have some who disagree, right? This these left two bars here are people who think, man, we could use more. Twice as many people think, yeah, we do have enough people to do ministry well. This question here in the upper right, people here have enough time and energy to participate beyond worship. Again, we have a significant portion who disagree. That was 9. But then we have 32 who agree with that. So 3 times as many say, yes, people have enough time and energy to participate in the life of the church beyond just worship. When it comes to financial resources, the statement was we are using up our financial resources. About 14 people say, they think that's true, we're using up our financial resources. About twice as many say, no, we don't feel like that's the case. And then finally, in terms of facility and how facility, does facility get in the way of ministry? We had 4 who said, yeah, facility gets in the way, but the overwhelming majority, 37 responses, said, no, the facility is not getting in the way of what we do. So the machine of algorithms and analysis that the statistics department puts together takes these responses, and there were many, many more questions, but I just thought I'd give you some interesting tidbits so we're not here forever this morning looking at this stuff. Puts it all into this algorithm and pops out 2 measures, basically. Where do you fall on sustainability, and where do you fall on vitality, which is that measure of what are we doing for Jesus. And if you'll go to the next one for me, Chip, basically this box right here to the top right is where all congregations want to be. You want to be both vital and sustainable. And look, here we are. We're vital and sustainable. So I think we want to celebrate that, and we want to say, well done, good and faithful servants, because this is the place you want to be. When we got the detailed analysis, we'll talk a little bit more in the coming weeks about some things that that showed on that where we have areas to improve. But the conversation around these results is, this is where we were when we took that in April, and congregations tend to live in life cycles of 2 or 3 years, where they might be here for a while, and then things sort of plateau, and we might drop back, and we're not doing as much to be advancing the ministry of Jesus, or we might hit some hard financial times, and we put in renewed effort, and we come back here. So basically, to say, we are here, and that is absolutely where we want to be, and that's wonderful, and we don't want to stop and say, oh good, we're where we want to be, so now we just keep doing what we're doing. It's also an invitation to say, what is working well, and where do we need some renewed emphasis so that we can stay in this great place to be. So we're going to talk a little bit more the next 2 weeks about some of those further insights about where we might put some more of our effort so that we can make sure we stay here. And frankly, this line right here is where the threshold for what they consider vitality. And you can see we sort of squeaked in on that a little bit. Sustainability, the line is here, and sustainability, we're doing significantly better, but vitality, it looks like, man, we'd love to be up here. We're thankful and rejoice that we made it over the line, right? But the line is not the end-all be-all. We'd love to be always doing more. So we're going to talk about that. I've taken enough of your time this morning. We'll talk more next time about that. Let's continue with our prelude, except Judy is reminding me. Latifa was on vacation this week, which is good and well-deserved, and Pastor Matt didn't do the greatest job with everything, like getting the hymn board fixed, so thank you, Sheila, for doing that this morning. And there is a page number. We are in setting 10 of our liturgy, which we did last week, and I warned you if you were here, is different than where we have been, and we all said different is okay, we can handle it, and you did. You did a great job last week. So do that again, sing loud again, pay a little more attention to your page numbers than you might always do. But I got the Holy Communion page number wrong. When we get to communion, it's page 206, not page 144. So I'm going to sit down, we'll hear our prelude, and we'll take a moment and prepare our hearts and minds for worship. We stand as we continue on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on page 203 for our setting 10. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Christ.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you wherever you appear, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will come this way for the children's message. Good morning, guys. Hello, everybody. Come on up here and have a seat. It's good to see you all. We're going to talk about a story that Jesus tells today about being prepared. You guys know anything about being prepared? I always think about a Lion King song. It goes, "Be prepared," but it's not a very nice preparation they're making in that. And you guys probably don't. Does anybody know the Lion King? Have you guys seen that movie? Okay. You remember that song about be prepared? What does it mean to be prepared for something? You guys know? What, Rosalie? You have everything you need to do it. So like maybe you might need tools or something. Yeah. Or sometimes we think about supplies and things like that. Sometimes that's what it means to be prepared. Yeah. Anybody going to school in a few weeks? 4 weeks? 3 weeks? You can tell my kids aren't old enough yet for this whole school thing. Yeah, but pretty soon. Have you made any preparations to go to school? You're going to turn 4 soon. Yeah, that's going to be great. And that's this week. Anybody making any preparations for going back to school? Yeah, like what did you do? Oh, you had to buy a lot of expensive school supplies. Yeah, and maybe new clothes if you've grown, and pencils, paper, notebooks, backpacks, those kinds of things. Yeah, those are preparations. Preparations are ways that we get ready, and sometimes it's about stuff, and sometimes it's not. What would you do to prepare for it to be nighttime? What?
Put your PJs on, brush your teeth, brush your hair.
Okay, so those are not things you're getting. Those are just things you're doing to be prepared for nighttime, right? And if we're prepared, sometimes things aren't as scary, right? Like what if it was going to be dark soon? What's one way you could prepare for it to be dark in your room or your bathroom at night? A night light like this is a way we prepare? Yeah. So that's how we prepare for the dark, maybe, or for bedtime. Well, what about this? How do you all think we prepare for Jesus, for the coming of God's kingdom? What would we do to prepare for that? Ashton, you got something you think? I love your participation, Ashton. It's wonderful. Yeah. I'll tell you guys some ways we prepare for Jesus. Jesus talks about one of the best ways we can prepare for the kingdom of God and for Jesus' coming is to give. Okay, to give gifts to people, to give things that people need, to help people when they don't have what they need, to give to them so that they would have what they would need. Rosalie, what were you going to say? To pray is a wonderful way to prepare. That's right. Yep. These are all wonderful ways. The one Jesus talks about in our lesson that we're going to hear today is to give. And that means maybe give money. Maybe give, if you have all the things you need and you know somebody else doesn't, to give what you have. Maybe you share your school supplies at school if somebody doesn't have what they need. Jesus says the way we prepare our hearts for the coming of the kingdom is to give. All right, I feel like we're not all on the same page as much today, but I appreciate you guys trying with me this morning. And let me just ask you, how does Jesus say we prepare our hearts? I'm gonna tell you. Say this. Say give. Give. Okay. Try it again. How do we prepare our hearts?
Give.
Give. And that could be giving our time, giving our money, sharing things that we have. That's the way we prepare for Jesus. So thank you guys for trying with me this morning. Would you pray with me? Repeat after me. Lord God, help us to prepare. Help us to give. Amen. All right, wonderful. I believe you all are heading to Children's Church where you're going to do some practicing so you can sing us a beautiful song. Thank you, guys.
First reading today comes from the book of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalms for today is Psalms 33. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds.
A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save.
Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love.
To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield.
Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. The second reading comes from the book of Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promise. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Habakkuk, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. You have to forgive me because I think probably about half of you have heard this story a couple years ago, but I think it bears retelling. I was on internship, and my supervising pastor and I were preparing to introduce our confirmation students to the biblical account of the Passover, and we realized that girded loins was probably not a phrase these middle school kids were familiar with. So with a group of all boys, we thought, hey, maybe we have a unique opportunity here to teach this concept in a very practical way. Good idea, bad idea, I'm still not sure, but my supervisor went out that afternoon and bought 4 jock straps, and I think he had to hit a couple of stores since jock straps have maybe fallen out of style. But midway into our confirmation class, then there they stood, 3 boys and their pastor, jock straps on over their clothes, sandals on their feet, walking sticks in their hands. One of those things you really want to get a picture of, and then you think, wait, maybe we don't want photo evidence of this lying around. The boys, for their part, seem to think it was funny, and I'm pretty sure they won't ever forget what it means to have girded loins. I hope we also manage to convey to them the larger picture here, the intent behind God's instructions to the Hebrew slaves, and that is, you need to be ready for action. You need to be ready to move quickly, to respond at a moment's notice when God acts and Pharaoh relents. It's this kind of active preparation that Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of Luke when he says that the people should be dressed for action. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour, so you must be ready, is what Jesus is getting at. Now, I'm pretty sure Jesus isn't talking about jock straps and athletic shoes. He's talking about being ready for the coming of God's kingdom. And that's not so much about how we're dressed or even whether we've decided to believe. It's about active preparation. It's about what our lives look like, how we live them. Because the kingdom of God, it's going to be way, way different from what the world looks like right now. Different in all the right ways, mind you. Everything that's backward and upside down in this world will be righted, turned on its head when the kingdom comes. So that means if we spend our whole lives and all of our energy adjusting to the broken and sinful ways of the world, the way things are right now, if we use all of our years planning for that brokenness and do our best to get comfortable with the upside-down world that we live in, well, then we're going to have a hard time when the kingdom of God comes and everything is flipped right side up. So Jesus wants us to be ready, prepared for this sneaky kingdom that finds a way to slip in unexpectedly, The kingdom that even now is already slipping into our world like a thief in the night. But being prepared for the kingdom, it's tricky because often our tendency is to prepare for the new and the unknown by hoarding up everything we think we could possibly need, right? You know it's true. That's why either you've learned by now that you really have to discipline yourself when you pack a bag to go somewhere overnight, or you haven't learned and you've gotten a bigger suitcase and a bigger vehicle, right? We hoard in the face of unknown because we don't want to be caught without something we might need. A lot of us are old enough to remember how that played out about 20 years ago now with the Y2K craze. As we approached the year 2000, there was this mass concern that a glitch in the computer coding would shut down vital systems of our infrastructure when the year rolled over from 99 to 00. And so people prepared to one degree or another by stockpiling food and batteries, other supplies. And then some people took this to the extreme, right? There were bunkers built where people could hide themselves and their supplies if things got dicey. When we talk about preparation for the kingdom, pretty clearly that's not the kind of preparation Jesus is talking about. Because for a while now, the whole 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been teaching about how it won't be the things that can save us. That bigger barns full of stores, they can't keep us from the grave. That nothing that a thief can break in and take could ever defeat the power of death. But there is, we know, one who can. Jesus himself, the one who took on death head on and who through the resurrection has defeated death. And you know what Jesus, the only one who defeats death, has to say about all of our preparations, all of our anxious hoarding and our stuff? He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, which means you don't need to buy it. You don't need to, by force, take it. You don't have to earn it. It simply is pleasing to God, in all God's goodness, that you would be given the kingdom. That's a relief, isn't it? The place where this conversation starts is that the kingdom is already yours just because it makes God happy. So don't be afraid. Don't worry. Simply accept the gift of the kingdom. And then, having done so, live like you have, which of course is where it gets a little harder for us. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is a challenging word, but I love that last line. Because if you're like me and you hear these texts about selling your possessions and giving the money to the poor, can make us feel guilty, can't it? Subpar, at least. I know I should do more, we might think, but I'm just not that good of a Christian. I'm not that perfect of a person. We might think, well, my heart is just not that generous. But here's the thing. Jesus says this is not the way it works. It's not that you have to start off with a strong faith and complete trust, and so then you can start giving things away. Jesus doesn't say, put your treasure where your heart is. Jesus says it's actually the opposite. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So even though Jesus indicts us when we use our treasure for our own purposes, he also offers a word of hope. if our hearts aren't where they should be, if they're not where God wants them to be for our own sake, if we aren't cheerful givers, if we feel guilty when we encounter the inequality of the world and we know that we're called to care for the poor, well, Jesus says there is a way to change all of this. Give, Jesus says. And not because you're this perfect person with a great faith, but because you know you're not, and you want to be better. You want the goodness and the fullness that God intends for you. Start putting your treasure on the hook, and Jesus says your heart will follow. This is what it looks like to prepare for the kingdom of God. We get ready for God's kingdom not by storing up the things of this world, but by shedding them. By practicing giving, we train our hearts for God's kingdom. We don't know when Jesus will come again. It will be unexpected, though. Thief in the night, sneaky kingdom, kind of unexpected. But that does not mean we need to be anxious or afraid. Don't fear, little flock. By God's grace, it is already God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So don't worry. Just get ready. Start living the generous, welcoming, sharing life of the kingdom now. Give. And your heart will be moved. Amen.
We believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and
earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
answer us when we call. We pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Lord God, bless and send your church out from each place of worship to be a light to the nations. Wherever we set out in faith, equip us to share our hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, bless and protect your creation, raising up stewards and innovators to nourish and sustain natural wonders too many to number. Protect bees, butterflies, and all your creatures, and send sun and rain where they are needed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, bless and govern the nations, uniting all humankind in seeking justice and peace. Guide our government to act justly and for the good of all. Particularly guide our Governor Roy and our President Donald. Prepare all our hearts for your coming kingdom and guide our deeds in love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, bless and comfort those in need, providing shelter to those without homes, food for those who hunger, companionship to the lonely, and health to the sick. Especially we pray for Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Harold, Bonnie, Bobby, Walter, the family of Lydia, Aldine, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Laura, Jen, the family of Eric, Judy, Misty, Alice, Al, Dan, Kathy, Jan, Robert, Joyce, Bill and Becky, Gary, and all those we name now. Lord, be their help and their shield. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, bless and sustain those wanting but unable to bear children. Bless those in the adoption process, and bless children who are longing for parents. Especially, Lord, bring comfort to the children devastated this week by their separation from their parents after immigration raids in Mississippi. Help us, Lord, to welcome in love those who seek homes in a new community or country, and give us eyes to see and hearts to respond to the needs of our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and more we ask, Lord, in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Ye holy, holy. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through the gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Say our mission statement together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
I just one more time wanted to say thank you to everybody who helped with Bible school. We had a great week. With Mount Tabor, we have decided to extend the donations for the animal shelter another week. So next Sunday, if you guys want to bring dog food and cat food, some of the kids that went to Bible school are going to deliver them to the animal shelter.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.